Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This is Tom Fox. Welcome to the FCPA Compliance Report. We take things in a very different direction today as I visit with Agla Karalite. Agla has lived in multiple cities and across multiple continents in her professional career. She is a branding expert. She helps corporations brand themselves, brand their products, and brand their services. But as we got into it, she talked about her process for doing so, and it was clear to me that a lot of the issues that the corporate compliance function has within an organization are around branding and how the strategies, tips, and tactics she advocates will help you brand to your company. I know you'll enjoy this episode. First, a quick message from our sponsor. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox, and welcome to another episode. I'm thrilled today to have with me, and I hope I get this right, Agla Karalite. Agla is in a completely different job, completely different anything from what most of the listeners to this podcast are, but she has a great talk and great presentation on branding. So she comes from the fashion industry, but she's going to talk to us about branding. So first of all, welcome and thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So could you tell us a little bit about your professional background?
Yeah, sure. So I started my career in New York City. And yeah, I lived for like 5 years in Manhattan. Actually started working on Wall Street for a few years, and then I moved to work in the furniture design space. So I've always was on the kind of brand strategy and technology side, helping companies to kind of figure out how to put themselves on the internet and, you know, leverage the digital technologies to their advantage. So after New York, I moved to Paris. I lived in Paris for 7 years. I opened a design agency over there, and I worked with brands like Adobe, Google Campus London, a lot of local French startups. After Paris, I lived for 2 years in South America, in Santiago, Chile. After that, I lived in Morocco for 3 years. Also working with some top brands in North African region. After Morocco, I had around 2 years in Barcelona. And then after that was Beirut. So kind of took me to Middle East. Over there, I worked with MTV Lebanon, a local fashion designers, and, you know, got to know the Middle East area. So my experience is pretty international. I ended up living on almost every continent and working with brands in different regions. So yeah, that's about it.
So I've been to almost every continent, but I haven't lived in almost every continent. And really the thing that struck me about, in addition to your international lifestyle and living abroad, is exposing yourself to as wide a variety of cultures as you could,
yes,
and seeing,
yeah,
kind of how you could engage each different culture, because all of the cultures you mentioned are very different.
Exactly.
Across the swath of where you lived. So
exactly.
I was going to ask you what led you to found Karalite, but I think I may know the answer after listening
to your background, but tell us a little bit about your company.
So what we do, we currently kind of create and tools on the topics of branding, design, and ideation to help both big brands and small brands, you know, crystallize their vision and prepare themselves to go out into the world and kind of create a brand for the world. So we do, we have the tools to help with brand strategy, with content marketing. I've recently created a game, which is called the Bloomerang Game, which is has three use cases. One of them is brand transformation. And also we work with brands to create kind of a brand system. So anything from brand identity to, you know, their web presence. So I created it as a really, as you know, after living in all of these continents and working with such diverse brands, I just simply wanted to share my experience, and creating tools that people can use was the most natural way to do that. And I'm pretty lucky that, you know, we have customers who bought our tools everywhere. We ship worldwide. So anything from big companies like Bacardi, Microsoft, Happy Socks, to lots of small design agencies have acquired our tools and are using them on a regular basis. So it's pretty exciting.
That's very exciting. Can I maybe start or go back to a basic question? Is how do you define a brand?
Yes. For me, a brand is really kind of a certain belief system that is packaged into a package that also kind of incorporates a product, incorporates a service, and really consolidates everything that the customer would resonate with. So it's a certain, you know, way of thinking, a certain way of being, and it's a certain packaging for a product or service.
When a new client comes to you, well, first of all, it strikes me that you can get very much into the weeds on a tactical level. You have some very specific tools that you can provide to your customer, but you also can step back and think strategically and help a company put together an entire strategy. So I wanted to maybe ask you if a new customer comes to you, what are some of the initial conversations you have with them? You mentioned the belief system of the company, but you've also talked about the customer or user experience. How do you help a company understand both of those and how they interrelate?
Yes. So I've developed a system that I go through with every client, so kind of a methodology where we look into the brand's world from all possible angles. So, who is the customer that we are trying to engage? What is the product that we are bringing out into the world? You know, what is the impact do we want to make in the world on the way to success? What is the overall experience that we want to take people through from the minute they discover a brand to the minute they become loyal advocates. And, you know, then kind of we dive deeper into content, into web presence, into social media. So I start with kind of high level questions that would enable the brand to uncover its authentic points, to rearticulate once again how the brand stands out from the crowd in the world. And then, you know, we kind of connect all the dots into what I call a brand system that really serves like a new highway for the brand to take its product to the people.
You used a phrase, or actually a word, that I've not heard anyone talking about branding, and that was advocates.
Yeah.
To creating customers or users or anyone else who's not your client to an advocate. How do you move someone from being just a purchaser to a true advocate? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a process, and there needs to be a lot of foundational work done from the way the actual product is created. from that to the way the brand communicates with the people. So, you know, it's like falling in love. Like, you have to have certain elements in place that would then trigger the spark. So it's the same thing with a brand. Like, the brand needs to get its foundational elements in place so that people, when they discover it, they really kind of fall in love with the brand and with the product. And then the advocacy, you know, becomes natural, because when we find what we like, we simply just naturally want to share it with people. So that's the approach I take always into branding. Like, how do we make the brand be so awesome and so wow that people would want to talk about it? And that's what I mean by advocacy. Like,
you gave us a list of some of the areas of products and services that you worked with. You named a few companies, but you named one which was Adobe.
Yeah.
And Adobe has a wide variety of products and services.
Yes.
But I wanted to use that as an introduction to ask, when you sit down across from a client, who are you talking to? Are you talking to communications? Are you talking to marketing? Are you talking to operations? Who inside a corporation is your initial point of contact?
Yeah. So when I was working with Adobe, we worked with one of their stock photography kind of services, one of the products that they had. And I was working directly with one of the actually main leaders of the product. So usually in all of the discussions related to brand strategy and product development, we always have like the main executives on the discussion, people who own kind of the vision, you know. And if that's not available, then it's usually the chief marketing officer, the CMO, or the brand director. So usually it's the main leaders who participate in these discussions, because they are very important when shaping the brand or taking the brand to the next level.
Is there a difference in branding for products versus branding for services?
The process is the same, just the approach that is taking is slightly different. But more and more, any kind of product that we launch into the world becomes an experience, really. You know, it's no longer just that we buy it, bring it home, and we are done. Like, the brand needs to create even an experience around the product or service that they are providing. So the end result that we are going after, that experience that we want to create, is actually, you know, is the same thought process. It's just that it might be a few different components in the actual process that could be different. And that always depends on, you know, what is it that we were bringing out into the world and who is it for? And then based on that, map things out.
How do you incorporate the user experience, or what I like to say, the UX, into an overall branding strategy?
Very good question. So I do have, as I already mentioned, like a brand strategy framework created where, you know, I kind of have identified what are the steps that every customer goes through from the minute they discover the brand to the minute they become loyal advocates. And so I have those steps identified, and then I have clearly marked where does UX make an impact. So good UX definitely helps to make people interested in what we have to offer. Because, for example, when we discover a brand online and we come to the website, how we're going to experience the website will determine whether the brand will hook us in or not. Of course, a lot of discovery these days is done through social media, so we kind of discover content there. But then at the end of the day, we still end up going on the website where we either make a purchase, or that serves as a way to reinforce how we relate with the brand. So UX definitely helps to get people interested. Good UX also moves people to take action, right? So we need to organize the website in the way that drives higher kind of conversion rates, right? So good UX helps to increase the conversion rates. And then, of course, good UX, if it is especially a SaaS business, will also help to create stickiness with a product. So that means after the sign up, when people sign up for a product, a good UX can decrease the drop-off rates and could increase the customer lifetime value because it's just people will stick around longer. So, yeah, does that answer your question?
Yes. Let me turn now to the metaverse. And the metaverse means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But the thing that struck me when I listened to people talk about the metaverse, it seemed to me to be an evolution on engagement with your users, your customers, whoever might be interacting with your product or service. And it had, you know, some components like NFTs, but it had just other components which might be termed a token. It might be termed an invite to a webinar. It might be termed a special webinar. It's not my webinar, special online meeting with an artist, something special or unique given to the users who would then engage with the artist or whoever was providing the service. And then that would almost be a build upon itself to create greater engagement. And I saw that as I said, an evolutionary step. Do you see or do you hear your customers start to talk about those different types of things in an integrated package like you hear in the metaverse?
There is definitely a lot of talk about that. I participated actually in NFT London conference in November, which was, you know, it's like NFT New York brought to Europe. That's on top conference where there was a lot of this, you know, players in the space from different angles that were discussing where things are going, how the metaverse is shaping the future. So definitely it is, you know, it's kind of another world that is being built, which we could say has kind of, which is taking the user experience to another level, another kind of another horizon is opening up. So brands at the moment, like only the most innovative and brave brands actively stepping into it. A lot of people that are kind of these days that I see, they're interested, they're learning about it, but they're not being so risky, you know, because to get into the space and do something there, you need to have time, you need to have the budget, and you need to be open-minded enough to experiment because this is something that is still being built. Like, of course, a lot of top fashion brands, for example, they're really stepping into the gaming world and, you know, engaging with kind of the gamers in very interesting ways. So I would say like the top brands who've always been the innovators are already there. But most of the like small businesses and most of kind of brands still at the learning and observation stage, seeing how they can leverage the space in the most profitable way. So it's still, you know, it's early stages and a lot of things changing. The ecosystem is still stabilizing, like who are the major players. But what like NFT London conference showed me, since I had a chance to talk with quite a lot of people, it's like people who've entered the metaverse like 2-3 years ago, at this time, they're the ones that are leading different industries. There's a lot of like a new wave of people that are stepping in, but they don't know yet what's happening. Like, you know, it's so you can see that there are these sort of like older kind of already brands that have built an ecosystem and have created a name for themselves. But then there's a lot of newcomers who are still finding their way around. And that's normal, you know, it's still at its development.
Where do you see all of this going maybe into 2030? Increased engagement, new tools. What do you see when you look down the road?
Well, definitely. I think the, you know, the metaverse, the everything related with VR technologies and with real life experiences, I think those brands that are going to be able to merge these technologies into a very cohesive experience that's both delivered online, that's both delivered in metaverse and is able to be delivered offline, I think they will be the ones that will win, you know, and will be able to engage people in the most sustainable way. So something that will definitely stay. So I would see that this is where it would be going in the next, you know, 10 years, is like, as technologies, new technologies are kind of grounding themselves and establishing themselves and new tools are being developed, what the brands need to see is how can we leverage these tools in the most interesting way that engages people in a kind of, you know, we can say the word holistic, it's not maybe the right context, but in the way that really provides a continuing experience and a diversified experience. So it's not just kind of one way, you know. So I think that's where it will be going. At the moment, it's still hard to unite everything into an interesting experience because, like, things are a bit scattered. It's not yet clear how things are working there or there. But as things are evolving and maturing, I think brands will figure out how to connect everything and connect digital with physical and really make an interesting experience out of that for people.
Unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode. But before we leave, I was wondering if our listeners wanted any more information on yourself, company, or really any of the topics we've touched on, what would be the best place or places for them to go?
Sure. So the best way is to check out my website, which is carolite.com, or find me on Instagram. And yeah, I update there all the latest news related to the Bloomerang, this game that I'm launching. Our next stop is going to be in Berlin Design Week, where we'll be creating a pop-up experience. So if anyone is around in the area, would be great to see.
Well, I wanted to thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me. This has been one of the most interesting interviews I've ever had.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks so much, and I hope we can continue this conversation.
Yes, thanks. Thank you.
This is Tom Fox again. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the FCPA Compliance Report. I hope you will join me for our next episode where we take up another deep dive into compliance. The award-winning FCPA Compliance Report is a production of the Compliance Podcast Network. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, please send me an email or give me a shout out. You can email me at tfox@tfoxlaw.com or connect with me on LinkedIn. Thanks again.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.